Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, February the 1st, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 34. We're reading the first paragraph. It begins with, "As we look back," and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And our readers today are the 12 Steps, Brandy M., the 12 Traditions, Terry H., the readers of the text are Betsy H. and Laura R., the newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Leslie M. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday's special edition, the 31st of January, is 16,305. That's 16305. And for Monday, this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time is 16,312. That's 16312. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for your service, Mo.
Yes, you're welcome, and thank you, Brandy, for the 12 steps. And I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Mo. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater through God's grace, one day at a time. The tradition. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, our OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Well, thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 34. The first paragraph, it begins with, as we look back, and we'll be commenting, reading that one paragraph and commenting on it only. And I will now ask Betsy H. to get us started. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. This is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. As we look back, we feel that we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he is a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. In the early years of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. This is an interesting paragraph. They're saying that that I have probably gone on overeating many years beyond the point where I thought that I could control it, that I could quit on my own. That is probably true in my case because my compulsive overeating started when I was a really young child. And one could try this experiment of trying to stop overeating or stop eating certain your favorite binge foods for a year. Or you could do it as a thought experiment. Einstein did thought experiments. If I do it I wouldn't want to try this experiment because for me, I wouldn't know if I would ever, I don't know when I would be able to stop overeating, if I started again. And it's a very scary thought. It could be years. But as a thought experiment, if you ask me, you need to stop eating broccoli for 1 year. I think, yeah, it's like, okay, sure, I could do that. It's not a big problem. Like, let's say broccoli was causing some kind of a health problem. It's like, yeah, no problem. I'd be happy to do that to get rid of that health problem.
But then if you tell me, can you, you need to stop eating your binge foods, your favorite foods, my favorite foods that I go to for comfort, for entertainment, for feeling better when I feel so bad, when the emotions are so unmanageable. Now that sounds like, oh my God, life's only going to be half as good without the binge foods. And it says, it's interesting, it says here, like, if, you know, if this book appeals to you, you know, you may have trouble putting down your binge foods for a year. You may have a problem with them. Because if, you know, if I really don't obsess about something, I really don't try to control it, it's, I probably don't have an addiction to it. But there are certain foods that I obsess about. If, you know, I would just wake up first thing in the morning with that obsession of like, what's in the refrigerator? Is there that dessert left over from last night? And I would have to go and again and again and eat those foods, even though I felt so horrible afterwards. And I really couldn't stick with a diet for a complete day. So I don't think I would be able to do that for a year in my case. So this is a helpful paragraph just to get an idea, you know, of the gravity of my illness, because it is an illness and it's very life-threatening in every way, physical health and my mental health, emotional health. And so it's good for me just to get a reality check of how serious this disease is, because the good thing is it's not a terminal disease for which there's no cure. We do have a cure that works very well, which is putting down the food and then working the 12 steps all day, you know, every day. Thank you so much, and I will pass.
Well, thank you, Betsy H., for getting us started. I will now remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 34, the top of page 34, first paragraph, as we look back, and we'll be commenting on that paragraph only. And I will now, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Thursday, so Friday today, wait until tomorrow.
Elena, Elena C.
I got Elena C. Cynthia.
Roz E.
Roz G.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. I got you, Roz.
Okay, sorry, thanks.
That's okay. Tamara C. Okay, I got Elena C., Cynthia G., Roz G., and Tamara C. Anyone else there?
Mary G.
Mary G. One more. Anybody else would like to jump in?
Ksenia V.
Ksenia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. K-S-E-N-I-A. Ksenia V. Okay. Here we go with our first six, Elena C., Cynthia G., Roz G., Tamara C., Mary G., and Ksenia V., and if all those would mute their phone except Elena C. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. My name is Elena C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Greer, South Carolina. I like the first sharing, and when I read it in this paragraph, I reminded myself of what I was doing with diet after diet. I don't think I've ever, like, the periods of abstinence that they say here about a year was my, associated with my dieting, and I don't think I've ever eliminated sugar from any of my diet, and it was never my intention. But my intention was to, you know, to lose weight. And I managed to lose weight on several occasions, and then I gained it all back. I gained it back. I went back to binging, although I don't think I've ever stopped binging, even when I was dieting. And slowly I realized that I have an addiction to sugar. And then just to still eat some sweets, I substitute the sugar with honey, with stevia, and got, you know, and I thought that would be okay, and it wasn't. And even if when I came to the rooms of OA, I still didn't want to, like, continue coming. I just wanted to get a food plan to remove my weight. And, you know, I found out there's much more than that. It's, you know, we need to have an entire psychic change. I needed to have an entire psychic change in order to stay close to my higher power and bring my higher power into my food addiction. And these rooms and the big book and my sponsor and all other people have given me that opportunity to be recovered today. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Elena C. And we're going to go with Cynthia G. next, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Cynthia.
Thank you so much. This is Cynthia C., actually, not G.
Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry.
No problem. No problem. From Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service and to everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. It does mean so much to me. I loved listening to the reading this morning, also, just like everybody else. excuse me. Really, my earliest memories are pretty much about food. They're about, like, the craziness in my family of origin and soothing that craziness with food. I have very early memories of going into the freezer and, you know, the food, like my mother's diet food that I would eat, you know. And throughout the years of I did, you know, I came into OA in the early 80s, but I never found recovery. And I did find recovery through another 12-step program for 3.5 years. And that was, you know, when I was young and the promises started coming true. And, but then after I literally the day after a wedding, I didn't think I needed you guys anymore. I had it. My life was okay. And I gained 60 pounds in about 2 months. I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to stop eating on my own. You know, after I got married and I gained all this weight, I tried all sorts of other programs. I did intuitive eating and, classes and all sorts of, you know, I was in Weight Watchers for, I think, 14 years, going almost every single week. And I kept focusing on emotional eating. I knew I was doing emotional eating. And in Weight Watchers, I got to tell you, I could have led those classes. I knew everything I was supposed to do, but I couldn't ever do it. I couldn't do it, you know. And it wasn't until I hit my bottom in my bedroom one night and I was coming up after excuse after excuse. I feel like I got like a thunderbolt to my head, a lightning bolt to my head. My higher power is telling me to go to Overeaters Anonymous. And I was like, well, I can't do that because I have this excuse and that excuse and I have triplets and, you know, they need me. I can't disappear for hours at a time. And I was like, what are you talking about? They're 17 years old. You know, like the excuses just fell away. I cannot force myself to do any of this on my own. And it is only when I pray to my higher power for just to make me willing, you know, that's when the chains fall away. That is when the obstinance and my arrogance fall away. And that is when I get to let go and start to follow my higher power's guidance. And that's where my recovery started. And I'm so grateful not to be spending my days and nights binging and being miserable anymore, and that I have 12 steps to guide my way today. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Cynthia C. And Roz G., you're up next, followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Roz.
Okay, thank you, Mo, and sorry I was saying my name so much. My name's Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And according to my app, which keeps my days recorded for me, I've been abstinent for 572 days, 1.56 years. And I joined OA in 2002. And it took me, according to this paragraph, it took me a long time to get there. So I just wanted to give an example of what I did and then talk about what it's like today. So, like the other sharers, I followed lots of different diet regimens and lots of different commercial diet plans. And then I read this book by a yogi, like this yogi, you know, a yoga master, and it was about yo-yo dieting. And one of the things that the person prescribed was doing a 3-day coffee enema. And so I did this enema, and he had said, it was fasting also. It was like a juice fast and coffee enema. Sorry for the too much information, but, you know, I went to these lengths. I was willing to go to any length to get skinny. And so after that, he had said in the book, now, after this, please, your stomach is resting. Don't overload your stomach. Gently guide yourself back into eating. So it was Sunday. It was a weekend fast, and it was on a Sunday that my sister came up, and my mom and sister decided they wanted to go to this really incredible hamburger place in town, and I could not eat a cheeseburger. I couldn't do it. And so I paid absolutely no attention to the directions of what the yoga master said and ate a cheeseburger and fries and whatever else went with it. And I did this over and over and over. And of course, I came to Overeaters Anonymous in January on a New Year's thing. And, you know, I had no clue what was going on. But I never stopped coming to OA, no matter how many times I relapsed. But that showed me that no matter what diet, no matter what guru, no matter what celebrity, I could not stop. And I was, whether it was a day or a week, I was right back into the food. And it wasn't until I took the steps with a recovered sponsor. She helped me with a food plan that got me off of those foods that I could not, you know, I had to get the phenomenon of craving out of my life. And I'm in an abstinent life today. And on February the 1st, the first of the month, I weigh myself every month. And, you know, sometimes I gain weight. It's usually within two or three pounds. Sometimes I lose. But it's not really up to,
fine.
I'm eating what I'm, thank you. I'll wrap up by saying I'm eating what I'm supposed to eat, and I'm weighing what I'm supposed to weigh. And I live for God, not for my body size anymore. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Tamara C., followed by Mary G. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered in California. I love the shares that I've been hearing so far. I relate to them so much. When I read this paragraph, I thought, oh, man, I remember those days of trying to control my food, trying to control my eating. And as my disease progressed, how I just could not control it anymore. There was a time I could for a period, but then I couldn't. And it was such a dark place of misery and pain and suffering. And I thought, wow, how did the miracle happen that I don't have to be there today? I don't have to be chasing that effect that I never get. It feels like such a miracle. And I was thinking, I wish I could, like, go back in time and find that Tamara who was just so suffering and so fearful. What am I doing to myself? I'm killing myself. Is it ever going to stop? And just say, hey, it's okay. Your higher power is going to let you run your course, and you're going to get to that place where you just give up. You're out of ideas, and you just know there's no lurking notion that you can control it. You just know without a shadow of a doubt that you have no control over food. You have no control over your life, and you just give up. And then when you're ready, your higher power is going to bring you to this experience of going through the steps with a sponsor, following the directions in the big book, and you're going to get this relationship with a higher power that is so sweet and so rich and so filling and satisfying that you don't need to chase that effect anymore. And I'm so grateful that today I get to use these steps every day. I get to do 10 steps when I'm disturbed. I get to use prayer and meditation, my nightly review. I get to work with others and remember that dark, miserable place and be so grateful that today I don't have to be there as long as I continue to grow along spiritual lines. And this meeting helps me do that so much. So thank you, everyone, for being here, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. Mary G., followed by Ksenia V., and after that, we'll be taking more names. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Hi, this is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois. Grateful for everyone's service on the line today, and I'm grateful to be on the line today. I haven't spoken in a while. This too brings back memories for me of, like, you know, trying to control the food. I remember a time in high school, I was going to not eat chocolate for 100 days, and I did it, and I was just so proud of myself. And another time I was cooking in a restaurant, and I wasn't going to eat fries again for like 100 days, something along those lines. And I was able to do that because it was early in my eating career. You know, I was able to do it, and I wasn't, I guess, as far gone as I got to be. But, you know, I was ignorant to the fact of any of this stuff. You know, I was ignorant to the fact that I had a disease. I just thought it was normal and natural to battle food every day. It's kind of what I've seen in my family, and it, and I didn't really know any better. And, you know, I get it when people say, you know, I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful because I know what I am. You know, I before I thought it was just normal living to just constantly be in pain and struggling with food. And today I have such a gratitude to know that this is a disease, for one, and that there is a solution. And, you know, the solution isn't, you know, the easiest of solutions, but that's okay. I've come to accept that. I fought that for a long time in the beginning, but I've come to accept it. And this is just the way I have to live. And you know what? It's not such a bad way. It's not so bad. I can just, you know, it's nice to just be able to be honest and say, I don't know, and to give it to my higher power and to get out of myself and work with others. It's not such a bad way of living. So I am a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and grateful for this program. My pass.
And thank you, Mary G. And before I take Ksenia V., we want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 34, first paragraph, as we look back. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. And after Ksenia, I'll open the lines up for more names. Good morning, Ksenia.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Ksenia V. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm grateful to be here this morning. I love this chapter, more about alcoholism. There's so much I can relate to. And as has been shared, I too, you know, came into the rooms and I had already been beaten up for a couple years by that point. But, you know, I am a stubborn addict and I guess I had more experimenting to do, more of like testing, you know, my willpower. What I'm thinking of as, you know, we've read this paragraph, it's just, gosh, the torture, you know, like, yes, the food and the physical discomfort of binging was terrible, but that screaming obsession, you know, that progressed for me, you know, to the point of, you know, waking up in the morning and just being flooded with these thoughts of just food, 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 more food. And I can remember, you know, sitting in my apartment and literally just feeling like I'm being torn in half with the pain of trying to resist going into the kitchen and eating food that belonged to my roommates. You know, and still, right, like I go into the rooms, I hear about, you know, oh, I have a disease, but, you know, my disease was so strong and it really took a lot of, you know, being beat up before getting to the point of surrender and saying, man, I give up. I am so broken. I've got nothing left. Please help me. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for, you know, my journey and the path that led me into the rooms. I really had to reach that place of desperation. And, you know, once I did and put down the food, got to work with a sponsor, like, you know, it was incredible. Like, God does for me what I cannot do for myself. And just so grateful for this recovery to not be, you know, suffering in this disease anymore. That's it. I'll pass. Everyone have a wonderful day.
And thank you very much, Ksenia V. And just reminding everybody, if you shared in the last 3 days, 2 days, would you pass today, and we'll let others share. So I'll open the lines up now for those who'd like to share on this paragraph, top of page 34, as we look back.
Wendy
M. I got Wendy M. Who was after Wendy?
Trisha D.
Trisha. Okay.
Deborah G.
Linda C.
Deborah G. Who was after Deborah?
Linda C.
Linda. Linda C. Anyone else? I got Wendy M., Trisha D., Deborah G., Linda C. Anyone else in this round? Okay, we'll stop there then, and I'll go with Wendy M., followed by Trisha D. Good morning, Wendy. Sorry.
Good morning. That's fine. Thank you for your service. Wendy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. So great to be on the line. It's a miracle. It's a miracle we're all together and we're on this line together. So what I say about this paragraph, I just have to say one thing at the bottom. It says here, some of us will be drunk the day after making a resolution, most of them within a few weeks. And I wrote down, probably that afternoon or in a few minutes. You know, that's how quick the disease works for me anyway. What I want to say is thank God. Thank God, thank God. This gets dangerous. Thank God this doesn't work. Thank God my willpower doesn't work. You know, and I love when I remember step one. Oh, my God, what a relief. I can't, but God can. That's a relief, right? Because I've been trying to control this thing my entire life, among other things I'm trying to control, of course. And when somebody reminds me, or the book reminds me, willpower, and the book reminds me that step one, you know, God can, you can't, I can't, and that I can see to my innermost self that that's the case, that's wonderful. It's a relief. I've been trying to do this thing forever, and every time I try to do it, it not only does it not work, but things get worse, right? Every time I'm going into the ring trying to control people, places, things, and food, it doesn't work even more. And you know, the miracle, too, in terms of being recovered, is this sense of being able to discern the truth and the false, you know, because the disease is in my voice. So it sounds right every time. And the disease wants me to lie about the food every time because the disease is hungry, literally, right? The addiction is hungry and it wants to be fed. And the more I feed the disease, the louder the dishonesty is and the more I want to control. And, you know, we're in the ring again. Thank God for the discernment. Thank God for, oh, my gosh. I see the true from the false. You know, that's whatever, the promises, step 10. You know, we get it in 11 and 12. And that's the relief. Really, God, I don't have to do this one more day? It's like, no, sweetie, you don't. You do not have to do this one more day. And as everybody said, you know, we've been doing this forever. And it's great because it says we feel we had gone on drinking. We could, you know, it is like, oh, no, I'm in the we. That means I'm in the me. That means I'm in the I. You know, I got this licked. I can figure it out. I know I've got it this time. Just, you know, move aside, God. I've got this one. And thank God I don't have it. And thank God it gets really, really bad. So that God's knocking on my door and saying, like, do you get it now? I'm trying to get your attention.
Time.
And thanks for letting me share it.
And thank you, Wendy M. Tricia D. is next, followed by Deborah G. Tricia, you're up for three.
Thank you so much. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Florida. My name is Tricia. I am struck by this paragraph because it brought back to me a memory of one of my earliest meetings I used to go to. And there would be a woman there who would come in and she looked so serene. She would sit cross-legged on a chair, which was something way beyond my physical abilities. And she was always usually dressed in white. And she just looked, you know, so serene and so calm. And I wanted that. That's what kept me coming back. But it took me a very long time, you know, where it says beyond the point we could quit on our own willpower. It took me a very long time to learn that. And unfortunately, it took me some pain along the way to do that as well. You know, for a long time, I viewed OA as a diet club with support and prayer. And it took a while for me to realize really in my full being, really, you know, in my core self, to realize that I have a disease of the mind and of the body, and that there are certain foods that I just cannot consume, that I am not normal in that regard. I'm grateful today that through meetings like this and fellows and lots of love, I've been able to reach that conclusion. And so I am grateful for you all being here today. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Tricia D. We have Deborah G, followed by Linda C. And it looks like we might have time for a couple more shares after these two. Deborah G, you're up.
Oh, thank you, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and all the shares and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And I'm Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And yes, I have highlighted in my book, we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our willpower. You know, continuing to believe the delusion, thinking that it's going to be different, and then anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous year, let him try leaving it alone for a year. You know, I'd go for periods of saying, okay, I've got this, I won't do it, you know, it's okay, look, I'm not doing it, I don't have a problem with it, and then telling myself this. You know, telling myself that I don't, and then be a real alcoholic, very far advanced, there's scant chance of success. So, wow, you know, that's a wake up. You know, if I'm a real compulsive overeater, all these attempts, you know, of dishonesty, you know, believing the lies that I tell myself that I'm not a compulsive overeater or it's going to be different or all that. You know, if I am a real true compulsive overeater, it says that I'm not going to be able to do it, you know, but I could not see that. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. You know, it's like I feel like when I would try to put it down, when I pick it up, it'd get worse. You know, it get worse. I think that's that progression. It get worse and worse and worse because I'm still in that throes of that thinking and not looking at what's that mean, you know, doing it more. You know, that was just not something I was aware. I was unconscious to all this. That's why I kept telling myself that. And that's all I have. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. And after Linda C., we'll have time for a few more shares. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for everybody for being here today. The sentence that I would like to talk about is, if anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving alcohol alone for 1 year. And what my recovery is telling me today, that this is not a good idea. I do not want to try this. This to me is my disease trying to trick me once again into thinking, oh yeah, just go ahead, give it a try. And by the grace of God today, I'm hearing the trickery and the twisted thinking and stuff like that better than I did in my earlier days, because I would just buy into it and go for this bad eating. So I am so grateful and blessed that my higher power has me on high alert for this, and I don't have to listen to that thinking in my head that, oh, it's okay. And I'm also thankful for visions and all the people on the line that have given me the recovery I have today. And I'm in recovery as long as I keep coming back. So thank you, everybody, for your shares, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Linda C. And so we now have time for 2, maybe 3 more shares. We're on page 34, first paragraph, as we look back. And just remember that if you shared in the last 2 days, if you'd skip today and share tomorrow. So the lines are open for those who'd like to take a quick, have a share here.
Barbara W.
Barbara W.
Christina.
Christine, is it Christine or Christina? Okay,
it's Christine. Christine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All
thank
right.
you.
Well, we'll take those 2, and if we have time, I'll let you know. Okay, Barbara W., followed by Christine M. Morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everybody. Well, this paragraph definitely speaks of the games we play, the games I played. With my disease, I started out with an eating behavior that seemed a little off, but my disease progressed as it does, and it got to the point where I had a normal sized body practically at the beginning, and by the time it reached its peak, I was 5'5" and I weighed 250 pounds. They went, oh my gosh, how did I ever get here? And, you know, it was like proof beyond a doubt that I definitely was gaining weight at a rapid rate. You know, I'd be fine for a while, and then all of a sudden in 3 months, I gained 50 pounds. And I went, how did that happen? And, it was like I was definitely in denial. There was no question about that. And here I am at 2021, February 1st, and I have 9 months of abstinence. And wow, I said, hey, I do like being with all these great people. And I will say that vision has a lot to do with that. And I don't play games anymore. I'm not feeling deprived. And I can go shopping in my very small grocery store and just go in there for what I need. If I happen to be in another store, I will walk down and look. If it's in the wrong aisle, I will go to the next one and the next one to stay clear. Sometimes I'll walk down an aisle and I forget, but I don't seem to want any of it. It's this new, wonderful neutrality. You know, I don't play games anymore. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Barbara, for your share. Christine M., you're up next, and we might have room for one more after Christine. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, I'll actually make it really quick. I am pretty new to OA. I've been a member since June. And this big book recovery has made momentous changes in my life. As I, you know, this paragraph speaks to me because when I go to the grocery store, I take out my kids. I used to work for everybody else, and as I deteriorated in health, I wasn't able to really be successful in being healthy. My spirituality suffered. This is hard to stay sober. I struggle every single day, and that neutrality has come. And then it goes. But when I come back to this meeting, and a lot of fellows here, you know, when you share, you participate in the meeting, like I'm doing today, it's beautiful to get people calling and reaching out to say, hey, how you doing? And sharing our message. I am a true overeater, binge purger, and it's been since June that I have let go of that healthy unhealthy behavior, and I have a beautiful sponsor who sticks by me and this program, so I'm not drinking. I'm staying sober, asking my higher power for help. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Christine M. Well, welcome. We have room for one more share. Who would that be?
K.S.
K.S. All right. You're on, K. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Mo, for your service and everyone who makes these meetings possible. I'm K.S., a compulsive overeater, recovering and grateful in Northwest Washington. And I can so relate to everyone who shared today, including my earliest memories of being, I thought I could control the food. My parents actually paid me $4 a year to abstain from candy, and I was able to do that. But the second I went off to college and was on my own, everything basically exploded, and I gained the freshman 30 plus a bunch more, and it just kept piling on. I cannot do this program myself. I just can't. And I am so grateful for the healing and the recovery I hear on this line, and this fellowship, because it keeps me abstinent today, and it keeps me sane. And that's all I wanted to share, but thank you so much for being there.
All right, KS. Well, we have time for about a 2-minute share if somebody would like to jump in there. And if not, we'll close early and we have room for to do sponsors. Okay, I don't hear anybody, so let's do this. Let's thank you all for your shares and for those that gave service on this meeting. I'm going to my pages here now. Sorry. Sorry about that. Okay, so we thank those who gave service this time. Brandy M., Terry H., Betsy H., Laura R., our newcomer greeter will be Lorraine N., and our announcement person will be Leslie M. And I will now ask Laura R. to read A Vision for You on page 164. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. This is Laura R., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater. It was a great meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.